Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Focus podcast. I am Singing Lisa, your host. Glad to be with you once again. And of course, a very special edition for you here, because this edition, we're going to be celebrating COVID heroes. That's what we want to call it. And we intend even for this submission to make it to the National Library of Congress. And so we're very honored to have Dr. Michael G. Russo. He is a family practice physician in Marrero, Louisiana. And so let me say welcome to you, doctor, and so glad to be able to speak with you today.
Well, and it's a pleasure to be here. Glad to help out any way we can, you know.
Absolutely. Well, you've been through some things that a lot of us don't have the words to describe, but you do. And so we're really honored to be able to have you here just to share your experience as a survivor from something that everyone has come to know as COVID-19, coronavirus, very familiar in our vocabulary these days. And so let me begin by saying, you know, what was life like for you before COVID, you know, took over in a sense?
Well, we have what I consider a successful medical practice over at West Jeff Hospital here in New Orleans, and we've gradually been expanding and getting bigger, and we do a wide variety of different things: geriatric medicine, nursing home medicine. We have an outpatient clinic. We do detox to people who have opiate addiction, and management of common disorders like diabetes, hypertension, coronary artery disease. So really a wide different array of different things. I mean, we have a sizable hospital practice. We also have a long-term practice. And things were going pretty good, you know, until the COVID pandemic started, and everything kind of took a turn in the wrong direction, I guess, at that point, you know.
What was your day-to-day activity? I know you've covered many areas, but where were you when you first learned about how serious this COVID-19 was?
I guess at first it didn't seem like it was going to be as serious as it wound up turning out to be, you know, because you hear about different diseases pretty frequently, but at first this was just another disease that started and kind of spread and started impacting the stock market. And then it started spreading through Europe, and I guess at that point it became only a matter of time before it hit the United States, and finally it hit here, and we were all talking about how we were going to handle it, and we were hoping it was just going to be a seasonal sort of problem, you know, and eventually it moved here, moved into the nursing homes, and since we have a sizable nursing home practice, that was a big problem, you know. And once again, I eventually wound up contracting the disease myself. I became pretty sick. You know, I was out for at least 10 days. And
were you able to track when you first thought that it may have happened?
Yeah, at first, you know, just cold-like symptoms and And really over the next 2 or 3 days, it got progressively worse, and then I knew there was something up. I mean, unlike a lot of people, I didn't have a real high fever, you know, just a really low-grade sort of fever. So I wasn't certain that I even had this at the beginning, but finally went and got tested, and I got to the point where I was too sick to work, so I stayed at home, and this was fairly early on, so the tests were taking a long time to come back. So it actually took 2 weeks for my tests to come back.
Wow. And by then, you had already been home trying to figure out how to take care of yourself. So yeah. What were some of the remedies you tried? What was your routine?
Well, we basically, you know, at that point, the Plaquenil remedy was still pretty popular. You know, this was kind of before they had some controversial developments, and Plaquenil became less popular. There was an article that came out that said Plaquenil initially was supported, and then an article that came out that said that it was too toxic and fell out of fad. But then some criticisms of that study came out. So officially now it's not considered real popular, but at that time it was considered a good treatment. So I went ahead and got it and wanted to start taking Plaquenil, and we had a hard time getting any because at that point you know, you had to have a documented positive test result in order to get a script for it. Mm-hmm. So,
was there a lot of rearranging you had to do in your, I know your schedule for a doctor definitely took, was on hold, but how was the reaction of your family when they found out?
Well, we were kind of just sheltering in place, wearing masks, and everybody staying away from me as far as possible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had people telling me I should go to the hospital, but I didn't really want to go to the hospital. I figured that was just going to be worse over there. And so I kind of really wanted to treat this at home unless it got to the point where I was really critically ill. Mm-hmm. And I did lose quite a bit of weight, you know, lost my appetite. And, you know, just had some shortness of breath problems, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Stayed in bed a lot. And
were fluids very important?
Yeah, I tried to stay hydrated. I drank a lot of Gatorade, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And water. And
so did you feel an immediate difference, or how soon when you did get the medication and start taking
it? So I went through the whole entire course of medicine. I guess I took it for at least 5 days or so.
Okay.
And then I also took Zithromax, which was another controversial thing. And mm-hmm. At first it didn't make much difference. I think gradually as time went on, I started to get a little bit better, you know. Mm-hmm.
Did you feel like your thought process was compromised, or a lot of energy was gone?
Yeah, just a lot of energy. So it took a lot more effort to get out of bed and just do anything, you know, mm-hmm. like 10 times as much energy to take a shower and, you know, wow. that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It was an exhausting kind of thing, you know.
Yeah. And so being in a different position, now you're being given the care, and normally you're providing all of the care. What were some of the thoughts that went through your mind as you just lay trying to recover?
Well, I guess that, you know, hoping that I don't get sick that often usually, and hoping that this was going to be something that would be short lived and something mm-hmm. we could get over with and get back as soon as possible. And, finally I started to get my strength back, you know, when I was able to start, you know, eating a little bit more. It seemed like that kind of helped a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, eventually I started to get a little bit stronger.
And, yes. And so as you continue to progress and started to regain some of your normal physical abilities, and then how soon did you return to work?
I guess about 2 weeks, you know. Mm-hmm. Once again, this was at the height of the pandemic, and there's a lot of fear and just...
Yes.
Even amongst the healthcare people.
Oh,
yes. A lot
yes.
of fear. You know, I had close friends who had been patients of mine for years just mm-hmm. going to the hospital and wound up dying from this. And mm-hmm. so it was kind of a scary time. You yeah. know, people weren't thinking rationally.
Sure.
You know. And eventually things settled into a routine with it. You know, eventually I did get back. But at that point, we were doing a lot of virtual visits.
Yes.
On you know, telephone, computer, you know, because people were too scared to come out of their houses and mm-hmm. were being instructed to stay at home. Mm-hmm. And
there was still so much unknown at that point as well. Even
now,
at the
hospital practice, you know, that kind of took a hit initially, but eventually started picking back up again. You
mm-hmm.
know.
What was your perspective when it came to the nursing home scenarios? Because that seemed to be such a tragic situation.
Yeah, we were debating on how to handle that, whether we should try to make all the rounds by telephone. And eventually we just decided to gown up and garb up as best we could, you know, mm-hmm. gloves and gowns and masks and two masks initially, and kind of go in. And whenever you enter, there's somebody taking your temperature, asking you questions before you can enter any kind of facility. And nursing homes are a hot spot. You know, obviously, you have a bunch of old sick patients in one area. If the disease gets in there, and this is a very contagious disease,
mm-hmm.
You can wreak havoc in a nursing home. You know, you've heard stories of nursing homes with
multiple
10, 15 people dying in the
yes.
nursing home, you know, so...
Yeah. Were there changes you made as you went in to give them care, isolating some people and as you found out maybe who.
Yeah, I mean, so certain nursing homes, I can think of one in particular that had a wing that set off and it separated quite well. So they put all the COVID patients in that wing.
Okay.
And they actually kept them there at the facility, which worked pretty well for that one facility. But most of the facilities that I'm at were afraid to keep the patients in. So they wanted to send them out as soon as they could.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting disease in that some people tend to have a mild presentation and other people get a real serious presentation. So even the mild presentations, if a person tests positive, would have to go, you know, get out of the nursing home, usually get into a hospital or something. Mm-hmm. Then they eventually opened an intermediate COVID facility at the convention center, which is an off-hospital site. We could start sending the really mild cases there, you know, when we had nowhere else we could put them, so.
Mm-hmm. And for yourself, having gone just about the two-week process, and thankfully never got to the stage where a ventilator was discussed or you didn't have that type of challenge, and so that had to be very fortunate. Now, did you have to go through the testing again to test negative before you could officially return, like some people?
Actually, as I recall, I was kind of cleared to go back at some point about maybe 4 weeks afterward, you know, and eventually took a test that came back negative and I was okay to go back. And but once again, that, you know, at that time we weren't getting these tests back too quickly. You know, there was a big lag time and
waiting on results.
Waiting on results, and I was, you know.
How was your family?
When I did go back, I was, you know, was mask on for, you know, for everything. Just I try not to, just in case I was still contagious, try not to infect anybody else. But my family did fine, you know.
Were they able to, or did they feel the need to be tested since everyone was in the home?
Yeah, my wife eventually got tested and she had antibodies, so she'd been exposed to it, but she didn't really have any significant symptoms. I think my son had a mild flu-like presentation. He's much younger, you know, so for some reason I was the one that got it.
Yeah,
really,
the carrier, right?
I was the one that was the worst hit out of everybody, you know.
Yes. Well, post COVID-19 for yourself, how do you feel? What are your thoughts these days? Because everything is still happening and you're still having to care for others who've gone through this. Do you find that you have a better handle on information on how to help someone else maybe endure what they have?
Yeah, right now in our city, you know, we've had everybody shelter in place, the economy shut down basically, and eventually, finally, the case numbers kind of diminished, so everything started to reopen, and now there's been a kind of an unexpected surge in cases again, you know, and even though it's summertime when these respiratory viruses don't tend to do as well, but this is a very resilient virus.
Mm-hmm.
So now things are kind of getting a little more tense once again.
Yes.
You know.
So what type of advice do you give your patients or even people that you know? Because, yes, we do have this uptick sort of happening again, and we've sheltered in place, and that's gotten a little relaxed. What type of advice do you give or would you suggest seems to be
Well, certainly people who are elderly, it seems to be worse than people who are older. So if you're older, over 60 years of age, then you're at high risk to have a bad outcome. Anybody who's immunocompromised, who's diabetic, you know, certainly anybody with underlying respiratory problems who smoke, those people are all at risk to have worse outcomes and wind up on a ventilator, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And what's kind of interesting is you're better to stay off the ventilator because the people on the ventilator seem to have a worse outcome than people who can stay off the ventilator.
Mm. Is there a choice for that, or does it just depend on where they are and the severity of the disease?
And it's an interesting disease. From what I've read, you know, people who get COVID tend to have excessive clotting problems. They develop a lot of pulmonary embolisms and
lots of unknowns.
Yeah, you know, and just the ability to circulate oxygen and metabolize oxygen is compromised. Mm-hmm. So even if you're on a ventilator, getting the oxygen, you know, if it's not being utilized correctly, that's one explanation why ventilator patients don't do particularly well with it. So, mm-hmm.
So as a person who is unaffected, not affected, or is not displaying any symptoms, what advice do you give them besides if they're not in the high risk area? Is the masking the best protection now that so many people are out and about?
I think the mask can give some protection. I don't think it's 100%, but and it's very uncomfortable to have to wear a mask, especially in the summertime here in New Orleans.
And a shield.
And but I mean, mm-hmm. but I think it probably does help reduce the transmission when people wear masks. So mm-hmm. technically, it's probably a good idea mm-hmm. to keep it on as much as possible if you're in public place.
And what's your thoughts on hand washing, since that was the first and most common advice that everybody's been given? Wash your hands.
Yeah, that certainly didn't do any harm. And mm-hmm. you know, they say the virus can stay alive on different objects and stuff for hours. So if somebody else has touched a faucet or touched something, and you touch the same issue, then you might have, you know, that's a way you can contract it and spread it. So mm-hmm. that's certainly something to consider, is frequent hand washing and mm-hmm. Yes. wearing masks and those two things.
So do you feel your practice is taking on any changes since you've gone through it? Have you implemented anything that you're going to continue?
Yeah, we're starting to open back up a little bit. I mean, we still have the masks on right now in our office. You know, for the really old sick patients who are really afraid, we do a few telephone visits, but it's not as frequent as we were doing previously. Mm-hmm. So, and people, you know, I find that there's a lot more anxiety out there. You know, people get stir crazy staying at home all the time. So
right,
And there's the economic stress of not being able to work.
Yes. And so mentally, how have you been overall? Because this, a lot of times, just sitting, not doing what you're used to doing, you have a lot more time on your hands to think about things. So how right. was your mental, you know, stability through this?
I like to think I'm a pretty resilient person. We down here in New Orleans, we went through Katrina, which was a big, you yeah. know, a big situation. And we have other, you know, storms and issues to deal with down here. And but this was certainly right up there at the top of the list, and the whole country had to deal with it. Really, the whole world had to deal with it. So,
yeah.
And just to let us know that, you know, we kind of think that we're safe from these kind of viruses in this day and age with all the technology and the medical advances we have, but still something like this can flare up. And
yes.
Until we get a vaccine, really, nobody's going to be 100% safe.
Yeah. You know? Do you feel the technology has played a big difference in how all of the your medical care has been able to be managed? Because worldwide, everybody's really turned to that for lots of different reasons.
Well, I think just the supportive care that we have compared to, they talked about the flu of 1918, which decimated the world at that time.
Yes.
I think if this particular virus had been in 1918, you would have seen some real decimation, you know. It would have been a lot worse than what it is today, because we have better medicine. Mm-hmm. And I think because of that, and even with all of that, this is still a pretty lethal virus.
Absolutely.
It's killed a lot of people.
You know? As we close, what is your outlook and hope for New Orleans? You know, this is where you live, and of course the world is a concern, but how do you see optimistically the future with what we're dealing with right now?
Well, I think we're a resilient city, and I think things are going to you know, eventually this will come to an end. I mean, we'll develop a vaccine. We'll reach a certain level of herd immunity, mm-hmm. and when all that happens, this will be something in history. We'll look back on this time and say, you know, just like other flu epidemics where people were dying right and left, and we'll say, well, this was something we had to go through, and
better for it.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're going to be a little bit better for it. It's, you know, something that certainly nobody's experienced before.
Certainly.
And hopefully we won't go through it again in our lifetimes.
Well, we thank you for your time, for sharing your personal story and your professional story. And we're so glad to be able to say that you're a hero, because you're on the front line in more than one way. And you have made a difference in continuing to provide care for everyone. And so we are really glad to be able to speak with you on the other side of this. And we definitely want you to have nothing but great and healthy days ahead. So everyone, Dr. Michael Russo, and thank you so much for all that you contribute to our care.
Well, you're more than welcome, and it's been a pleasure talking with you today.